trade, her and I were both occupational therapists, and her and I are now both business owners, and neither of us actually work with clients at this point, or at least not in the traditional occupational therapy sense. However, we are supporting occupational therapists over the entire globe to help the kids that they serve. And yeah, it's just amazing to think about what we can do. In fact, during the podcast, we spent probably like 10 minutes talking about how we can do hard things. And that is true for any entrepreneur. Like, you can do hard things. You just have to learn, right? And today, knowledge is available, right? You have YouTube, you have podcasts, you have books. You can learn anything you need to learn online if you have that grit, if you have that desire, if you have I don't want to say it's just willingness. You also have to have the time, the energy, the support behind you to do it. But if you want to do something, there's a way to figure out how to do it today more than ever.
Namaste, sweet souls. My name is Shilpa, and you're listening to the Omni Mindfulness Podcast. I am a mindset and meditation coach for professional women and mompreneurs. The purpose of this show is to offer stories and content that allows you to increase your awareness of your authentic self and be inspired by connecting to the personal and professional stories of other souls. Souls who are walking the walk and living everyday human experiences with inspired intentions. These are the stories that will expand your consciousness and spark within you to ask, what if? Each season, I offer content to help you create a holistic lifestyle that embodies spirituality, mindfulness, mindset, and energy awareness. Through my conversations with experts in their niche area and solo casts from yours truly, my intention is to help you holistically revitalize, reset, and relax your body, mind, and spirit. I'm your host and founder of Omni Mindfulness. So ask yourself, what if just one story could be the catalyst to shift the trajectory of my life? What if I become instrumental in serving other souls to realize their true self? And what if my soul's higher purpose is in the realization of Omni Mindfulness joy? It's never too late to rewrite your story. And now, today's episode. Welcome back, sweet souls. This is your host, Shilpa. I wanted to share some exciting news about a little challenge I'm running, as I'm trying to get more people to discover this podcast and the conversations that inspire those who value personal growth. And the best way to do that is to leave reviews. You can leave a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts. So my request to you is to leave a review if you feel that you've received any value at all from these episodes of Omni Mindfulness. It would mean so much to me if you could write a little review regarding any episode that resonated with you. Please take a screenshot of that review and email it to me at omnimindfulness@gmail.com. In return, I will offer you my one-page guide to spark your meditation practice through Sankalpa. Sankalpa is a Sanskrit word for intention setting. Along with this, you'll receive a link to my guided meditation that will guide you through an intention setting meditation, positive affirmations, which you can practice daily. I guarantee that this gift will help you start a daily intention setting practice with a spark. It is my gift for you for being a listener, being a supporter, and of course, to enable you to manifest the best meditation practice. And we are now in my fifth podcast season, exploring the topic of spirituality. Each month, my guest and I delve deeper. In January, we explore spiritual entrepreneurship. In February, spiritual leadership and wisdom. And wrapping up with spiritual awareness in March. Stay tuned. And up next, Jason Davis. Jason has been a school-based occupational therapist for over 10 years in Southern California. He is also the creator of OTSschoolhouse.com, a website and podcast to support occupational therapists transitioning to or currently working in the school system. In addition to supporting the current occupational therapist, Jason advises occupational therapy students at the university level. Jason views education as an essential occupation for all individuals and strives to help learners of all ages make meaningful progress toward their lifelong goals. Jason is the owner of Schoolhouse Education, LLC, and OTSschoolhouse.com. And now, here's Jason.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for joining.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Perhaps maybe you could share with the audience a little more about your company, and then we can go into the detail of the journey behind that.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to talk about, I'm an occupational therapist by trade, and so I love to talk about occupational therapy, but I'm also a business owner. And so, of course, I love to talk about kind of the business sides of things as well. So whatever you want to talk about is all fair game. I just want to say thank you so much for having me on here, and I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an honor to have you. And I have really enjoyed our conversations within SPI. And then I was super intrigued when you talked about occupational therapy, because I do have friends in that space, but you've niched down into ADHD for children.
Not just ADHD, but all occupational therapy within school-based occupational therapy. So I graduated from OT school. You have to have a master's degree to practice as an OT. So I got that in 2012. And I jumped right into my first job working in a public school district with kids with disabilities. So ADHD, kids with autism, kids with any type of learning disability. Some kids don't have a disability at all, but they struggle with accessing their curriculum at the schools. So I would help them. I would help the teachers. Sometimes I would help even the administrators learn how to support the children within the classroom. So sometimes that would look like working on helping the students with their handwriting so that they have legible handwriting. Sometimes that's working with kids who have sensory differences and helping them. Sometimes it's helping them. Sometimes it's even helping the teacher to recognize how they can help a student with sensory differences within a classroom. So for instance, some kids just need to be able to stand and move. And so getting them a raised desk as opposed to making them sit down for hours on end and letting them stand while they work, or giving them some sort of chair that can move with their body. So handwriting, sensory, fine motor, using scissors, using both of their hands at the same time. Like some kids really have difficulty cutting something because they just don't know how to use their left hand and their right hand at the same time. So that's kind of what I would do. And you know, after doing that for about 7 years, I decided, you know what, there's no community out there for school-based occupational therapy providers. And I needed help. And I wasn't going to pretend that I knew everything, but I wanted to put something out there to say, hey, let's have conversations about this online. I worked in a very rural area, and there's only like one other occupational therapist to work with. And so I said, you know what, let's use the internet. And so that's what I did. So yeah, that's kind of leads into a little bit of the business, but I don't want to ramble on too far. So go ahead.
I find it fascinating. It sounds like you had this insight that there was a need. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from the mindfulness and meditation space, uh-huh. And I'm often drawn to people who have a sense of empathy. Was there something behind your motivation as to why you wanted to work that particular
with kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, going into OT school, knowing I wanted to be in occupational therapy, there was definitely some desire to work with kids. Occupational therapists, they work with people from premature babies all the way up to, you know, skilled nursing facilities. So as an OT, you can work in any gamut of life. But yeah, I always had this desire to work with children. I don't know. I feel strongly that I actually had a diagnosis of Bell's palsy when I was younger, and I didn't know it. And that would cause me to actually look very different when I was a kid. I've had a little bit of surgery on my nose to reconstruct my nose, because for about 8 years of my life, I would have nosebleeds almost every single day. And So anyways, I always felt a little outcasted a little bit. And so I think part of that led me to work, want to work with kids. I wanted to make sure that kids that were even different had the ability to access both education and social skills and be a part of education, not just getting education on the side. And so I think that really, that did lead to me wanting to work with kids.
You know, and you mentioned that you recognize that. So having been through that, I think that gave you insight into what it might feel like. From my son's school, I've seen there are children from different spectrums of what might be considered ADHD or other conditions.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've noticed is that that while teachers want to have empathy and they are empathetic, they may not even either A, recognize what is going on or have the tools. And so with your innovation, sounds like you've now identified that need. And
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do as occupational therapists. As occupational therapists, we are trained to look at a situation and break down the components of that situation and to help kind of rebuild back up. And so we will walk into a classroom and we'll look at the entire classroom, not just the kids' skills, but also the entire classroom. What is impairing or also what is facilitating the student's success? And so we look at all of that. And I like what you're saying, you know, teachers, they want to be supportive, but like you said, either they don't know how or they're not given the tools. I would add even that there's just so many regulations, you know, they're trying to get through 6 textbooks in a year with a student and they have 180 days to do that of school. And then you add on testing, right? And testing is only 150 days into the 180 day school year. And so they're trying to cram so much into so much time and they're trying to do that for 30 kids that the 2, 3, maybe 4 kids that are in their classroom that aren't picking up things as quickly, they get lost. They get stuck behind. And sometimes those kids, they end up having to go into a special education classroom. And that's not fair, in my opinion, right? Because we're trying to make them fit into our educational world as opposed to trying to fit into their educational world and doing what's best for them. So, It's teachers love what they do and they want to do best by the kids that they serve, just like I do. But they need supports and teachers have a lot on their plate. And so I'm there to all school-based occupational therapy providers. We're there to support them a little bit.
That is just really noble, but just seriously it's necessary as a mother. Oh, yeah. You know, I see that. Now describe the journey. Once you recognize that there's a gap in this market and started making connections, I'm sure that took a lot of, I would say, grit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so it started off as me and my fellow colleague who we both worked in the same school district. And so we're like, you know what? We love listening to podcasts. In fact, we listen to our mutual mentor, unofficial mentor, Pat Flynn, all the time. And I mean, everything I learned, how to build a podcast, how to build a website, came from listening to podcasts. And so her and I, we decided to build the podcast. We're no longer working together. She moved across the country and we just kind of naturally split apart per se. I had to learn I didn't know anything about building a website and I didn't know anything about podcasting. I didn't know anything about that. Like you said, I saw that gap. You know, when I went on to a Google search and I typed in school-based occupational therapy, like 2 websites would come up. And one was all like handout resources, like worksheets that an OT could do in their therapy practice at the school. And the other was like our national association, the American OT Association. So there wasn't a lot out there and there definitely wasn't a community. And so I wanted to help build that community. Like I said, at that point, especially, I was not an expert, but I wanted to still build that community for people. So I started that and I didn't make a single dollar for about 3.5 years. I mean, this was a quote unquote hobby, right? It wasn't really a job. It was a hobby. My wife was working on her master's degree and I was sitting right next to her at the coffee shop building a website. I mean, it was a lot of long nights, a lot of long days, weekends, But now I'm to the point now where I'm at, and it's my full-time job. And I couldn't be more excited about that.
You know, that's one of the interesting things about having that, I would say that seed of thought or desire or like intuition, maybe that this is something, it's an opportunity as well as something that's driving me. You know, what was your why behind it? Aside from what you've shared, but was there a particular thing that
drove you? I mean, you know, what we've talked about already, you know, my background as a child feeling a little different, that led me into OT. And then OT led me to see that there was this, like I said, it was out of necessity, right? I didn't build a community because I wanted to have everyone come to me. I built a community because I needed a community as well. And then going forward, I think it also came out of the idea, my dad was a small business owner. And when I was young, he could be there to be, you know, the coach for Little League. He could be the basketball coach. He would take me out of school on a random Tuesday and we'd go to a baseball game. He was always able to be there for those types of things. And, you know, we definitely were not wealthy by any means, but just the ability for him to be there for some of those important things, that resonated with me. And so I knew that in the future in my life, I did want to be able to kind of be that role for my children. And I now have a 2-month-old. He's about to be 3 months, actually getting here soon. And he's in the next room over with grandma right now. Grandma's over so that I can, you know, do this interview and get some other work done. But I'm so happy that if I heard crying right now, I could walk out my door. We could press pause on this podcast and I could be there for him. And that means the world to me, being able to be there on a whim for my family.
Yeah. And that's also very much my why. I having been in corporate and having early parts of my son's life, I was putting on my nice clothes and driving an hour to get to the office.
Yep.
And my mom would send me pictures of him crawling. I'm like, I'm missing out. Oh my God, as a mother. Or like one time he had something going on with an infection in his eye. No, all day, all I could think about is I should be holding him.
Right. Yeah. You know, and being the stay-at-home dad, my wife is an educator and she's got another few days of work. And I'm having to be very selective as to what I send her and what I don't send her. I don't want to send her too much, right? I don't want her to feel bad about not being here for our child, but I also want her to, you know, get the see the giggles and see the smiles and having a good time. So that's funny that you say that. The other thing that resonated with me with what you just said was that hour-long drive that you had in corporate. And same with me. When I first started the OT Schoolhouse, I was working about an hour and a half away. And so 90 minutes both ways. That was time that I used to learn how to podcast. I listened to every single episode, basically, Pat Flynn's Smart Passive Income podcast. And I listened to other podcasts. And heck, I think I even took some courses while driving. Don't tell the cops that. but that was my time to learn. It was also kind of a way, a little decompression time before I got home, which was also kind of nice. But really, I learned how to turn my practice as an occupational therapist into a business during all those commutes. And it's, just making the best use of your time. And I think all entrepreneurs, right, we figure out we have to do that. Otherwise, we'll lose ourselves.
Yeah, and that's so true. As a individual that I've been building my business now for close to 3 years, but every minute, every second counts.
Yeah.
Just, we were talking about that earlier, that you are the person who, there's no like order that you can put in saying, my best raise. And I'd like a whiteboard on my office.
Right.
Right. With yourself. Right. And so, but every moment counts. You're in constant learning mode, which resonates really well with me because I feel like I'm a lifelong learner. So listening to podcasts such as Pat Flynn, we're going to mention you 100 times. He's been the savior in teaching me how to build my own business.
Yeah.
You know what? Just a little bit of a tangent. I noticed, okay, the people who are listening to this won't see it. I noticed your t-shirt
Yep.
And it says motivate, and with the OT is, yeah. So that's awesome. Tell us about the T-shirt.
Yeah. So this is a shirt I found on, I don't know, Etsy or Amazon or something. And it is a quote unquote OT shirt, occupational therapy shirt. But it spells out the word motivate 4 times. And in each time the OT is in a different color to kind of point out the OT side. And when I found it, I bought like 3 of them because I was like, oh, I like that one. Occupational therapy is actually a very heavily female oriented profession, similar to teaching. I think teaching is becoming a little bit more, there's more males going into teaching as with occupational therapy, but it's really hard for me to find an occupational therapy shirt because they're so oriented toward females. But this one I actually did find. I've actually made some of my own now because I'm like, okay, I can't find anything I like, so I just made some. But this is all about OT and motivate. You know, that's part of what we do as occupational therapy practitioners. There's actually even a model called the MOHO model, which the M in MOHO stands for motivate. And so it's something that we do, and so I got the shirt.
That is really awesome. You know, and that is sort of the theme of what I believe this podcast conversation is about, is really about motivation, not only motivation as the form of art that you're practicing, in your case, occupational therapy and creating an entrepreneurial business around it, but whether it's that or any kind of entrepreneurial business, what drives both of us, I believe, is the motivation. And you have some sort of insight. You don't have a crystal ball, unless you do, and you can, you know, share that with me. But if you have a crystal ball and you have that insight, what will happen if I plant this seed and start growing a business? Because it didn't exist when you started. And that's saying,
oh yeah, absolutely.
A lot of us that maybe even Pat Flynn could say that. It's like when he started, he may not have had the, a vision that this is going to turn into what it did.
Yeah, 100%. And real quick, I accidentally misspoke really a second ago. The MOHO is actually the model of human occupation. I said it had motivate in it. It doesn't. But anyways, there's motivation behind it within the model. But yeah, what you're talking about, the power of showing up, gritting, you know, getting through, finding yourself to be motivated, that's huge. Two things come to my mind when I talk about that. And the first is my wife. I've kind of, you know, as an entrepreneur, I kind of, you don't push it on people, but you kind of mention, hey, babe, like start a website or something. And she's like, you know what? I don't have that motivation to wake up every morning not knowing what my expectation is. And as an entrepreneur, that's really what it is, right? You have to make plans you make a year-long plan, and then you break that up into quarterly plans. Then you break that up into monthly plans, weekly plans, and daily plans. And that is hard for people. You have to have motivation. You have to have trust to know that what you're doing today will have an impact on your life a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. And that's tricky. And I remember when I started the podcast, shout out to Pat Flynn again, I think I heard it from him, you know, just commit yourself to 1 year, commit yourself to showing up on that podcast on a regular basis for 1 year, whether it's every day, every week, every 2 weeks, once a month, even show up for an entire year. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, that was how I really got started. I told myself, you know what? I bought this microphone. I'm going to use it for 1 year and see what happens from there. You know, lo and behold, one year went by. I don't know what our numbers were, but we had numbers. And so,
hey, sweet souls, if you're seeking to start 2023 strong, then you are in for a treat. In 2023, I'll be hosting regular free mindfulness workshops starting in February 2023, aimed at professional working women or mompreneurs. With each workshop, by signing up, you receive free guides that will support you not only in terms of your daily routine, rituals, but also to help you attract abundance and manifest the dreams that you desire. Did you know that taking your manifestations to the next level is about integration of tools and mindfulness modalities that help you cultivate the skills to recognize what your current abundance mindset is and build your ability to receive? You can learn practical skills combined with powerful mindfulness tools to overcome your fears, eliminate anxiety, and take control of your life. Click on the link at the bottom of the show notes to get on the early sign up list. Namaste.
We continued on. We continued down the road, and I'm so happy that I did, right? And that grit, that motivation to continue. It kind of all came from a promise to myself. I will do this for 1 year.
Yeah. You know, I just hit my 50th podcast.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, just recently. Well, and now you're going to be 50 something, or actually, no, you might be the 70th one. That is that when it happened. So I'm again, when you were saying everything needs planning.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So sometimes you don't know, though. You're trusting yourself that mm-hmm. by showing up for yourself every day and having that innate skill, which I did have, not everyone has that, where I can plan up the wazoo, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I mentioned that because I have a spreadsheet, and I write down everything, like, okay, this is the podcast title, this is the guest. And when I saw 50, I'm like,
what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you know, and that number itself, that may not mean much, but it's uh-huh. to me, it means grit. It means
yeah.
I've been showing up and I'm learning as I go. Things are constantly evolving.
Yep.
And so there's multiple things that happen. You're probably refining your skills as an occupational therapist, but you're also refining your skills as an entrepreneur, which are lifelong skills.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. You're right. And we did actually recently had a milestone podcast, and I had someone come on to interview me, and we talked a lot about that, right? We talked about how by trade, her and I were both occupational therapists, and her and I are now both are both business owners, and neither of us actually work with clients at this point, or at least not in the traditional occupational therapy sense. However, we are supporting occupational therapists over the entire globe to help the kids that they serve. And yeah, it's just amazing to think about what we can do. In fact, during the podcast, we spent probably like 10 minutes talking about how we can do hard things. And that is true for any entrepreneur. Like, you can do hard things. You just have to learn, right? And today, knowledge is available, right? You have YouTube, you have podcasts, you have books. You can learn anything you need to learn online if you have that grit, if you have that desire, if you have I don't want to say it's just willingness. You also have to have the time, the energy, the support behind you to do it. But if you want to do something, there's a way to figure out how to do it today more than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were talking about having a support system, which really does help when you're an entrepreneur. And that's been one of the most challenging aspects of what I call a venture. You know, when I started, I didn't realize I was becoming an entrepreneur. It was more like, I have these interests. Let's see where I can take them.
Yeah.
And I have skills, because I came from technology. Uh-huh. So the stuff that you need to do to make a business, I thought, well, maybe I'll figure it out as I go.
Uh-huh. And
what I learned is you need the support of some type. You need to have a lot of faith in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of what you and I discussed, motivation. The support is necessary, because I left corporate 3 years ago, and it's been a while. And then every day you're doing something. Every day. And there's no one that gives you a reward. The other day I was like, oh man, you know, I just finished that. Who do I give a high five to?
High five yourself.
Like, nobody's going to say Shilpa's the Employee of the Year award this year.
You can. I'll make you the Employee of the Year award for the Shilpa business.
I'm going to promote myself to vice president. So yeah, I mean, it requires a drive, and it does require a lot of faith.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, I was full time at my normal business while making money on my website. And to trust yourself, right, to leave that job, you have to have support. I mean, my wife was supportive of me stepping away from a very good income full time job, and it wasn't easy for her to support me all the time. I know that. I mean, we had tough conversations about that. It definitely wasn't easy. And I didn't really have, like, none of my friends are entrepreneurs, or at least, you know, my physical friends per se, you know, in my relative area that I hang out with. And so I had to find those people online. And, you know, SPI Pro, that was part of why I joined SPI Pro, was because of that mastermind community and being able to talk to people who are going through those same difficulties as I am as an entrepreneur. You know, they always say, you know, you need to have people around you that emulate where you want to be. And that was part of the reason that I joined SPI Pro, was to be able to find that community. I'm so happy I did, because it's hard to find people like that, you know, when you're, especially once you get out of college, right? It's hard to make friends in general. It's even more difficult to find specific friends that are entrepreneurs and are doing things like that. It's hard. So finding support wherever you can is important.
I agree. One of the things that I learned through SPI, again, I 100% resonate and agree that SPI Pro has helped me sort of find my tribe in, as an entrepreneur. One of the guests I had, she mentioned that early in her life, as someone who worked in technology, she learned that she understood herself. She understood that going to a 9-to-5 corporate job wasn't going to work with her personality.
Yeah.
Someone else I had interviewed, she's a lifestyle coach, and she had said something about learn to know yourself early on in life. And I'm like, okay, well, these are things I didn't know early on in life. I wish somebody had shared this, because it wasn't until I got into the weeds of becoming an entrepreneur that I realized I actually love it. I have yet to see the fruition of it coming together and really what I would consider like the success markers. Mm-hmm. However, the joy is there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important, because, you know, they always say, right, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I don't think that's true. I mean, I definitely work even though I love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But you're right. If you love something, it's easier to do it knowing you're not quite making money yet. Yeah. And that you're not supporting yourself and your family financially yet. But that doesn't mean that you're not, that doesn't mean that your business isn't supporting you in other ways and isn't supporting you, your family, in other ways, right? Because even though maybe you're not making money today, the people around you are seeing what you're doing and you're having a potentially positive influence on them, right? Because they're seeing you start a business and thinking, hey, maybe one day I can start a business. Or maybe your son, your daughter, your family, they're seeing what it means that, like we talked about earlier, you being able to be at home, or me being able to be at home rather than an hour away. And so there's other side effects, positive and potentially negative side effects to running a business despite or outside of the money, I should say.
Yeah. I agree. And only wish I had this conversation with you 10 years ago.
I wish I had this conversation with me 10 years ago, man.
Well, as entrepreneurs, we do have a lot of conversations with ourselves.
That is true. That is true. Myself and podcasts with all the podcast hosts. They don't know it, but I'm talking right back to them.
That's so true. let's hear a little bit more about the business itself that you created, what it's called, you're serving, but one more time.
Yeah.
And how people can learn more about you. We'll include the links in the description, but let's just say someone is like, you know what, I'm a school teacher, I'd love to get a hold of this content.
Yeah, absolutely. So my brand, the name is OT Schoolhouse, and that is basically wherever you can find me, right? OTSchoolhouse.com, OT Schoolhouse Podcast, OT Schoolhouse Carrier Pigeon, I don't know, email, everything like that. But what we do is we provide professional development for school-based occupational therapy providers. So those OT providers that are working in the schools, it is very niche, and it is niche for a reason, because I know who I can support and I want to support them. My goal is to support them so that they can support the teachers that they work with, the kids that they work with, the administrators they work with, and also themselves, of course, being able to advocate for themselves. And so I do this through a podcast. I have online courses. I have a conference actually coming up for school-based occupational therapy providers, where I'm hoping to have Last year we had 375 participants, so I'm hoping to have 400 to 500 participants this year. It's going to be great. We do that all online, so anyone can participate, because, you know, teachers, anyone who works in public schools, or anyone that works in a job in general, as much as we love to go to conference, we hate the work that we have to make up after the conference. So we're doing it all online to make it easy and accessible for everyone. And yeah, that's the OT Schoolhouse in a nutshell. We have some big things coming in the future, but yeah, otschoolhouse.com. You can find me there. Also, my name is Jason Davies, Jason with a Y in it, J-A-Y-S-O-N. And you can find me anywhere. Yeah.
That is awesome. Now, in the conference itself, where are your different audience coming from, and what will they learn there or do?
Yeah, so primarily the audience is school-based OTs that are in the States, in the United States. However, last year we had a few people join us from Australia, a few people from the UK, and one or two people from Singapore, actually. So that's amazing, right? You're like, why does someone in Singapore even know I exist? But yeah, so we have people from all over the world joining us. And this year, our conference theme is expanding collaborative practices for school-based OTs. And what we are bringing in is speakers to tell or to share, not tell, but to share with school-based occupational therapy providers how they can collaborate with teachers, with PE teachers, with speech pathologists, with physical therapists, with all the other people that are there to support kids in order to better support those kids. Oftentimes, in any profession, right, we can get pigeonholed into our own profession and we don't go out and ask other people. I just hit my microphone. Sorry. We don't go out and ask other people for help, but also we don't share what we know with them. And so this conference is all about, you know, understanding the power that we have, but also understanding the power that we could have if we collaborate with other people, because we don't know everything. The speech therapist, the teacher, the administrator, they don't know everything either. But if we collaborate, there's so much that we can do for a student that we can't do alone.
Absolutely. The things I've noticed is that whether it's a summit for, say, I was at the Somatic Summit, I think I was telling you about the other day, or another summit that I'll be attending virtually. When you're in it, when you're listening to the different speakers, what's interesting is that you somehow, at least for myself, we never see them and you just read about them. You put them on this pedestal and rightly, they are knowledgeable, but inaccessible. They feel inaccessible. And when you have these environments that you've created, like you've done, then the accessibility also changes the dynamics of what you feel you can ask and share. And sometimes you realize, I do have a voice. I might even be able to provide anecdotal data that can shift the dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And part of what we do with the conference is that we provide a community aspect to it as well. And so you can attend live or you can watch the replays of the actual sessions. But I think even more important, and what people really appreciated last year, was the ability to hop into the community and ask questions about that session. I am a speaker, but I also obviously am going to watch the other sessions, and I love facilitating the chat. And so I really get the chat going, because I believe that we learn more when we are fully engaged. And I believe that if you are using the chat, if you are inputting text into that chat and talking back and forth, you are more engaged than someone who is not in the chat, right? Because it's too easy these days to be on a Zoom session, watching a YouTube video, and doing three other things at a time. But if you are engaging in the chat, then I know that you are watching the video. And so I really try to keep the chat engaging and facilitate questions and facilitate answers. And I think that makes the summit all that much better.
That's wonderful. Well, any parting wisdoms for not only the field of OT as it's evolving, and you're part of that catalyst, and also maybe any wisdom for people like myself that are entrepreneurs who feel like they are isolated and may not always have the connections that they need or want?
Yeah, I mean, as far as occupational therapy goes, it is a growing field. It's amazing. And there will always be a space for occupational therapy, in my opinion. And it's it's a very rewarding profession to know that we get to support people. So I'll leave it at that for occupational therapy and for entrepreneurship in general. We talked about some key points already today. The grit, having that motivation, finding your community. And that's hard because I still don't, I have a community, but I almost feel like I need more. You never have enough community. But I think the biggest thing, and I've already said it, is just to commit to yourself. Commit 1 year to yourself, or maybe it's 3 months even. You know, start with something. Start with that goal. Write it down. Put it on a post-it note. Put it up on your wall so you see it every day. And, you know, almost will it to make it happen, right? It's not faking it till you making it, or it's not fake it till you make it. It's dream it till you achieve it, or do it till you achieve it. And yeah, you know, if you've got that goal in your mind, there is too much information out there to not be able to learn it. If you have that will, you have that desire, you have that time and energy, you can make it happen.
Oh, and I'm just going to be in tears here. And what you're not seeing is all these, you know, this large post-it note sheets
we'll
get from the office. My wall behind this computer is filled with it. And 2 years ago, I wrote down these things. I thought, oh man, they're just like out there in the future. Uh-huh. But it was like this map of, okay, here's the website, here are the social medias, here's the YouTube. And then maybe on this little post-it note, podcasts, and here are the few guests maybe I could get. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll stop at those 7. And like,
and now you're at 50 plus.
And all that little stuff that's out there on my drawings and notes, it's happened.
That's awesome.
And it's, but I've got a long ways to go.
Oh, I know, but that's so powerful though, right? I mean, just know, once upon a time, those were just words on a sticky note.
Yeah.
And now you can put a link anywhere you want on the universe and on the web to any one of your podcasts that was just a dream at one point. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Last week, you know, I started thinking, you know, maybe I want to write a children's book. And so last week I wrote down children's book, even though I've been saying it, it was out in ether. So I posted a note and decided to smack it on my wall.
Right.
Maybe the power of writing it down. A year from now, maybe there's a book.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to even go further, make it a Facebook post or a Twitter post, because then people know that it's your dream, right? It's one thing for you to know your dream. It's another thing to put it out there for 10, 1,000, 100, whatever, however many people are out there are listening to you to know that you have a dream to do something. I mean, look at, I don't like to use him as an example all the time, but I mean, just look at Elon Musk, all the stuff he puts out on Twitter. And then you look back on what he said, you know, 20 years ago and whatever. And it's like, gosh, he's doing what he said he wanted to do. It's crazy. Putting it out there for the world.
Yeah. Manifesting.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the element of all of the conversation points you made today sounds like it all ties back to mindset and really just a positive mindset.
Oh yeah. A positive and growth mindset. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jason. I'm so honored and inspired. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I hope that whoever is out there listening, you know, that one person right now that's listening, talking to you, I hope that you appreciate this. I hope you appreciate Shilpa, and I hope you appreciate myself as well. We want to be there for you, whether you're an occupational therapist, a speech therapist, an entrepreneur, someone working in an office right now, listening to a podcast because you want to go home and start your business. I hope you do it. It's something that can change your life. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
It can change your life. Thank you. And it can inspire you. Want to get out of bed every day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on, and I'll let you, take care.
Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the links in the description, and please subscribe, follow, and share, and continue to practice Omni Mindfulness.